The shiur tonight in Tehillim, Perek Aleph, is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Racholea Bas Rav Chaim Tzvi. The first perek of Tehillim that is well known to us is a perek that has no koteret, has no title. Quite often, Prokim Tehillim begin with some sort of a title, whether it's L'David or L'Amnatzeach. This perek has no title. And you will notice that this is a rather unusual phenomena in Sefer Tehillim. Chazal already have commented on this, and there are a number of other prokim as well that in Sefer Tehillim are without a title. And perhaps we'll be examining some of them in Yetzer Hashem in the future. When one reads this perek in Tehillim, one is immediately taken by a number of phrases that are found here, a number of expressions that are utilized here in this perek of Tehillim, that essentially don't appear that often. For example, the expression in the first pasuk that we'll read shortly, leitzin, that generally translated as a scorner, that's found 14 times in Sefer Mishlei, and otherwise in Tanakh only found twice. And yet it appears here in the first perek of Tehillim. And so too, some of the other expressions are expressions that are found primarily in what are called the Sifrei Chochma. Sifrei Chochma being Mishlei, Koheles, and Iyov. Let's begin to explore this parak of Tehillim. And by way of Hakdama, let me mention as well that Chazal somehow saw this parak of Tehillim connected with Parak Beis of Tehillim. That Aleph and Beis go together, are really considered to be one unit. And Chazal saw that because the first parak of the Tehillim begins, Ashrei ha'ish, asher lo'holach batzas v'shoyim, u'b'derech ha'toyim lo'omod, u'b'moshav leitzim lo'yoshav. And in the second parak of Tehillim, that parak ends also with a similar language, the last pasuk in parak Beis, nashku bar penyenaf, v'tovdu derech, ki yivar kimat apo, ashrei kol chosi bo. And Chazal tell us that this kind of beginning and ending was ahuv to David HaMelech, was very beloved to him. Let us begin to explore Perek Aleph of Sefer Tehillim. First we'll read again the entire Perek. We'll focus on a number of particular expressions and phrases that are used in this Perek. And then again, we will try to see the overall structure of the Perek in order to get insight into the messages that are behind this Perek. Ashrei ha'ish, asher lo'holach batzas rishoyim. Happy is the person who doesn't walk after the advice of rishoyim, of wicked people. Uvederech chatoyim lo'omod, does not stand in the derech, in the way, in the path of chatoyim, the language of chatoyim here, which is not uncommon in Tanakh. We have the other well-known expression, yitamu chatoyim min ha'aretz urishoyim odeinam, and there from the context, one realizes that chatoyim there refers to chotim, since the balance of the pasuk reads, Yitamu chatoyim min ha'aretz urushayim odeinam. And this, of course, is the subject of the Gemara in Brachos, where the Gemara discusses a dialogue between Bruria and her husband, Rav Meir. And the question there is the proper translation or reading of the pasuk. And Chazal tell us that Bruria noted to her husband, Yitamu chatoyim belo chotim. His understanding was, Yitamu chotim min ha'aretz. Let sinners be eliminated. And she felt, no, let the chatoyim be eliminated and the chotim should in effect become balad tshuva. See here also the language that's used in the first pasuk, uvederech chatoyim la'omad. Since the pasuk speaks of rishoyim, chatoyim, and leitzim, one could assume that perhaps the term chatoyim also has this possible meaning, uvederech chotim la'omad, but it could really have either of the two meanings. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo'holach batzas rishoyim, one does not follow the advice of the wicked. Uvederech chatoyim lo amad, does not stand in the derech of chatoyim or chotim. Uvemoshav leitzim lo yoshav, does not sit in a moshav, in a sitting where there are leitzim, where there are those who are scorners and scoffers. Now notice, interestingly enough, that here the pasuk actually has three expressions. As I mentioned a second ago, to describe people who are not, shall we say, the most ideal, namely rishoyim, number two, chatoyim, and number three, leitzim. Beyond that, there are use of three verbs that the Mechaber has referred to, number one, the verb lo halach, and the verb lo amad, and then the verb lo yashav. So we have three different terms to describe three different personages, if you will, three different verbs that are associated with them, and beyond that, we also have three different expressions. Ba'atzas, referring to Rishoyim, Bederech, referring to Chatoyim, and with reference to Leitzim, B'moshav, Leitzim lo yoshav. Of course, the language of Moshav fits very well to the verb that's used vis-a-vis Leitzim, namely lo yoshav. These three expressions aroused a lot of discussion among the Dolei HaPashonim. One looks, for example, to begin with Rashi. Rashi understands, if you have the Rashi text in front of you, you'll notice that Rashi comments the following. Rashi says, under the words Ashrei Ha'ish, notes Rashi, Ashurav shel ish, utilasar shel adam, elu heim asher lo halach, the praise of this individual. Again, we're going to be talking about someone clearly who's deserving of great praise, of admiration, namely, we'll see in a few minutes, the tzaddik that's being described here in this parak of Tehillim, says Rashi, number one, asher lo halach. Ki mitoch shel lo halach, because he has not walked, batzas v'shoyim, continues Rashi, lo amad, he has not stood. Where has he not stood? Bederech HaToyim. And beyond that, says Rashi, mitoch shel lo amad, since he has not stood, lo yashav, he has not sat. Thus Rashi understands the pasuk as going min hakal le hakovei, we're going from the light to the heavy. That is to say, according to Rashi, the term halicha means someone who is walking, someone who is moving about, someone who is going to and fro, refers to someone who is not kavua, who is not anchored, someone who is not rooted, but rather someone who is moving around, someone who is involved in some sort of activity, the activity which the Mechaber describes as being halicha. And then the second verb that's used is the verb of amida. Uvederech hatoyim lo amad. He did not stand in the derech of chatoyim or chotim. And here again, the language of amad or amida is less kavua than the language of halicha. Halicha, of course, is not kavua at all. Now, amida already, a person is standing in one particular spot, so there already we have a greater kvias, a greater rootedness, a greater sense of being anchored. So here again, this tzaddik, not only did he not move about batzas v'shoyim, nor did he stand bederech hatoyim, and then finally, the end of the pasuk, uv moshav leitzim lo yoshav, nor did he sit in a moshav of leitzim. Of course, yeshiva refers to someone who is settled, someone who is seated, someone who is rooted, someone who is transfixed to one spot. So again, Rashi is learning that the pasuk is to be understood that it's going min hakal el hakovei. The pasuk is praising the person, the tzaddik, asher lo halach batz hashoyim, neither moving about in the etzer v'shoyim, nor amida b'derech hatoyim, nor yeshiva b'motzav leitzim. That's how Rashi understands the pasuk. That which is most kavua is the language of yeshiva. That which is next in line is amida. That which is least kavua, of course, is the language of halicha. The pasuk goes then min hakal, from the light, el hakovei, to the heavy. Again, one could always refer to when Chazal speak about, the pasuk says in Tanakh, when it compares a malach to a ben adam, it says v'nasati lecha malachim ben ha'omdim ha'ele. A malach is considered to be an omed. A human being is a holech. A human being is someone who is constantly on the move. A human being is someone who is constantly, shall we say, moving about to and fro. And v'nasati lecha malachim ben ha'omdim ha'ele. A malach is an omed because a malach is someone who has a particular shlichus, a particular mission that he has to carry out. He's deputized to carry out that mission, but essentially he's an omed. There's no bechira, there's no free choice. A malach is someone who is a shliach Hashem, an emissary of the Almighty. A human being is a holech. And of course, as we are holchim, we can move in different directions. The pasuk says, in b'chukosai teilecho. The Torah wants us to walk in the way of Hashem, and that's when the Torah describes a great length over there, v'salachti b'solchem v'yisi lachem elokim, the idea of halicha. But of course, halicha can be in one of two directions. Either a person can walk b'darki Hashem, or as the Torah says again in B'chukosai, v'alachti imachem b'chamas keri, v'alachtem imi b'keri. There's halicha b'keri, which of course is halicha of a totally different sort. It's halicha of a genre which Hashem, of course, is not desirous of. It's halicha in the wrong direction. So again, all that is simply to contrast the two verbs of halach with the verb amad and the verb yashav. Interestingly enough, the Ibn Ezra quotes here in his perush another explanation, which is not necessarily obvious explanation, but the opposite, really, of the explanation that Rashi cites. And apparently the Ibn Ezra's citation, he quotes here, Moshe Gigatilya HaKohen, and the Ibn Ezra often cites in his perushim on Sefer Tehillim, and we'll read the Ibn Ezra inside. He writes, Ashrei Ha'ish, Kadmoneinu Zal Omru, Hazal say, Ki Omad Kashem Min Halach, V'yashav Kashem Mikulam. And that was the Chazal, which essentially is being cited by Rashi and by the Ibn Ezra, indicates, as I said a moment ago, we are going min hakal al hakavod, from the light to the heavy. So the language of Amad is stronger than the language of Halach. And Yashav, of course, implies, says the Ibn Ezra, kashem mikulam. It implies that someone is ensconced. Someone actually is rooted, Rachmanu Litzlan, in Moshav Leitzim, in Rishus, in Chatoyim. Someone is rooted in Chatoyim, and therefore, clearly that is the Madrega, which is the most difficult. However, he then quotes Rav Moshe HaKohen, and Rav Moshe HaKohen disagrees with this position. But the Ibn Ezra right before that says, Im kein yiyu haleitzim royim mechatoyim. The Ibn Ezra points out correctly, the way Rashi learns and the way Chazal understands, the way the Ibn Ezra also understands, that we are going from, number one, Rishoyim, to Chatoyim, to Leitzim. Leitzim apparently is the most difficult, the most inferior, the one that has descended to the depths, to the doldrums of Chet, and therefore to be a Letz is simply a situation which is unconscionable. And this apparently was what bothered Rav Moshe HaKohen, and he writes, after that, Ibn Ezra, Rav Moshe HaKohen Pirish, he says Lehefech, he interprets the Pasuk in the opposite direction. Namely, he understood that the Pasuk begins with the most Chamor, namely Halicha, and that refers to Rishoyim, and then it, shall we say, the Pasuk now is going in the other direction, Min HaKoved Al HaKal, Amida is a bit less, and Yeshiva involves someone who's totally passive, someone essentially is the least. So Rav Moshe HaKohen Gigatilya clearly learns differently than the Pshat of Rashi and the Pshat of Ibn Ezra. The reason why I mention this is because Rashi's Pshat and Ibn Ezra's Pshat, which essentially is that which is found in Chazal, is very fascinating, and one that can actually be, one can invoke the mashal that Chazal uses, for example, with reference to the Yetzer Hara. Chazal tells us the Yetzer Hara insinuates himself into the person. Initially, he comes b'tor areach. He comes as a kind of guest. He's here, uninvited. No one wants the Yetzer Hara. But then, once the Yetzer Hara is given his due, so to speak, if you permit the Yetzer Hara to enter, then after a while, he becomes a ben bayis. Then he becomes not simply a visitor, but he becomes someone who already is comfortable, is frequent in a person's home. And then, if you continue to permit the Yetzer Hara to go ahead and do that which it does, so then, of course, the Yetzer Hara eventually becomes the Baal HaBayis. He becomes someone who takes over. He directs traffic. He orchestrates everything. And that's what the Pasuk is saying, according to Rashi, and the Ibn Ezra, according to Chazal. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzas v'shoyim. Initially, basically, the Rasha is giving you an Eitzah. Let me give you some advice. Let me give you some counsel. Perhaps I can assist you. Perhaps I can guard you. Perhaps I can direct you. But again, you know, advice is something that either you listen to or you don't listen to. We're free people. We're people who are involved in halicha. We make our own decisions. We decide what we're going to do. Every person has bechira chavshis. But if one is already ensnared by the Eitzah v'shoyim, that can lead to b'derech hatoyim la'amad. When one already is involved in amida, one becomes anchored, and when he's anchored in the derech, it becomes almost a way of life, becomes a kind of lifestyle of chatoyim, of chotim. And Rachmanu Litzlan, according to Rashi and Ibn Ezra, could lead to the ultimate situation of uve moshav leitzim lo yashav, where a person is ensconced and rooted in a moshav leitzim. A letz is someone, the Gemara Chazal comment, call him mislotzeis nofel gehenim. A person is a letz. He's a scorner, he's a scoffer. So Chazal says he's going to go straight to Gehenna. Here a person is literally wallowing in Leitzonus. Uve Moshav Leitzim Lo Yashav. The Yetzahara has become not just an Oreach, not just a Ben Bayis, but a Balabayis. He's become actually the landlord, as it were. The very fascinating Mishnah at the end of Kedusha, the first Perek, where the Mishnah actually comments, the Mishnah is speaking about, on Daf Mem Amud Beis, the Mishnah says, Kol she'eino lo b'mikro v'lo b'mishno v'lo b'derech eretz, eino mena yishuv. The Mishnah is talking about someone who's not mena yishuv. And the Gemara, the last Gemara, at the end of the first paragraph of Kedushin, the Gemara actually, when it wants to prove and corroborate and adduce a text for this particular idea, someone who's not involved in Mikra, not involved in Mishnah, not involved with Derech Eretz. So the Gemara says that one should keep away from that person, one should not have any benefit from such an individual. Shenemar, which pasuk does the Gemara quote? B'moshav leitzim lo yashav. The Gemara quotes our pasuk here in Tehillim. And the Gemara says, Moshavo, Moshav Leitzin, that this person, his entire seating is the seating of a letz, of a scorner, of someone who is involved in mockery and cynicism. And Rashi says something incredibly striking. Says Rashi, Vizeshe eino b'yechad me'elo, a person who is not involved in anything, namely, neither in Mikra, he's not telling you a good vart on Chumash, v'lo b'mishnah, he's not telling you a pshat in the Mishnah, nor is he involved in Derech Eretz. Says Rashi, B'mei yisasek, what can this person do? The only thing that's left for him to do is imlo b'leitzanus. The only thing that's left for him is to be a letz, to be someone who scorns and mocks and scoffery. And Chazal speak about leitzanus achas docha meyatochachos. You can sometimes be involved in a serious conversation with someone, or you can be involved in listening to a tremendous shiur, and suddenly one leitzanus, one snide remark, one cynical comment, one piece of scoffery and mocking can somehow undo the entire shiur, because it creates a certain type of atmosphere that's completely antithetical to what the shiur, the Magid shiur, is trying to do. And that's what Rashi says. Aletz is someone, he has nothing to offer. And that's what I believe is the Pshat in the Chazal, Kol HaMislotzeis, a person whose entire personality is suffused with Leitzanus, no fill of Gehenim, go straight to Gehenim. What does he have to offer? That's what Rashi comments here. B'mei yisasik im lo b'Leitzanus. So here, the Mechaber of this beautiful first parak of Tehillim is telling us that woe unto a person who is on the slippery slope, and chas v'shalom, he might slide, and he might slide into oblivion. He might slide both. He begins by, in effect, listening to atzas v'shoyim. He goes on to b'derech hatoyim. Again, with first halicha, then amida, and then finally, he's sitting in a context of Moshav Leitzin. The very fascinating Rambam at the end of Tumas Taras. The Rambam here at the end of Tumas Taras in Perek Tezayin, the last halacha, the Rambam discusses the Lashon Hara that was said by Miriam and Aaron against Moshe Rabbeinu, for which Miriam was punished. The Torah says she received Taras. And then the Rambam, commenting on that, on those psukim at the end of Parshas Baal Yischa, the Rambam says the following. He tells you, what is the Sichas HaRishoyim? The Rambam says that one should desist and keep away from the Sichas HaRishoyim, which consists of Lashon Hara and Leitzanus. Leitzanus is called Sichas HaRishoyim. And the Rambam comments over there the following. Lefikach roi lemisha rotze lechavin orchosav, a person who wants to be careful about moderating and modulating his ways. Lisrachik mishivasam. Don't get involved with what the Rambam calls these Rishoyim atipshim, people who just speak foolishly, without any discipline, without any restraint. And the Rambam says, one should not speak to them. One should not become ensnared by them. The Rambam, when he speaks of people who have really descended to the depths, to the doldrums, as I said earlier, he talks about Leitzim HaRishoyim. First they speak words of foolishness. The Rambam quotes a pasuk in Yishenem of a kol ksil berov dvarim. And then the Rambam says, beyond that, they come to speak about the Gnai of Tzadikim, how terrible Tzadikim are, quotes a pasuk. And then from that point on, the Rambam says, they begin to descend, they begin to fall into depravity. They speak against the prophets, against the Nevi'im. The Rambam again quotes a pasuk. And finally, Rachman Litzan, the Rambam says, they can come to Kfira Ba'ikar. So the Rambam has described a situation where a person literally is descending, where Prasim Achmanu Litzlan is moving down, further down, and the Rambam here is very, very similar to this pasuk in Tehillim. Let me just, before you ask questions, certainly the questions are very much welcome. The Rambam ends by saying that Vizui Sichas HaRishoyim Shegorem Islahem. What is this caused by, the Rambam says? By people who are hanging out, so to speak. Hanging out where? Yeshivas Kronos, Yeshivas Kronos, People are hanging out, they're sitting together. The Rambam stresses the word yeshiva. And that's exactly what's being stressed here by the Paitan, by the Mechaber, this beautiful Perek Tehillim, Uv Moshe Ableitzim Lo Yoshav. If there are questions, please feel free to ask, and we'll be glad to try to respond as best we can. The Rambam at the end of this Perek in Tumas Tzaraas tells you, in contrast, Aval Sichas Ksheri Yisrael, Ein Ela B'Divrei Torah V'Chochma. We will see that this is really the major theme that's being described here in this perek. Let's continue in the perek, and let's examine the psukim that follow upon the heels of the first pasuk. The mechaber of the perek then goes on to say, David HaMelech writes, so this is what a tzaddik should not do. He should not go b'atzas v'shoyim, he should not go b'derech hatoyim, he should not go b'moshav leitzim, but what should he do? Ki im b'soras Hashem chepzo, his desire, his ratzon, his chefetz, should be b'taras Hashem, uv'sarasa yege yom v'alayla. And in effect, he should dote on his Torah day and night. Here, there is a discussion among the Mefarshim. Firstly, why the double language? First, the pasuk says, ki im b'taras Hashem, chefzo, and then it seemingly repeats it, uv'sarasa yege yom v'alayla. It mentions in his Torah, you'll dote on day and night. So the Rishonim, the Pashoni HaMikra, asked this question. Rashi, commenting from Chazal, based on Gemara Abba Lazar, Daf Yutes, and also Gemara and Kedushin. So Rashi comments, it's on the sheets in front of you. Rashi says, Uvasarasa Yege, Bitchila hi nikreis Torah Hashem. Initially, when a person first approaches Torah, what of course is the Torah? The Torah is the Torah of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Torah of the Almighty, the Torah of Hashem. He is the Nosin HaTorah, the one who gave the Torah. And then Rashi adds something beautiful. Umisha omel ba. But once a person toils in Torah, once a person devotes himself, once a person is yageh b'Torah, then Rashi says, he nikreis Torah so. It becomes his Torah. So Rashi answers the question, why the double lashon? And Rashi says, the first time the pasuk mentions the Torah, it mentions b'Torah Hashem. Because certainly the Balabais is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the one who's the Nosin HaTorah, he's the one who gave us this great Matana of Torah. But once a person becomes involved, a person starts learning Torah and delves into it, and a person becomes encompassed by the beauty of Torah, then it becomes Uvisaraso, that he himself has a chelek in Torah. We know in the davening, many, many times we ask Hashem, V'senchal keinu b'sarasecha, Hashem should give us our chelek in Torah. Every Jew has a chelek in Torah, but that chelek can only come about with tremendous Amolo and Yigiyah, comments Rashi. And this is based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Radak here has a different interpretation. The Radak interprets, first he tells you that his first pshat, the second pshat, he agrees with Rashi. He quotes from Chazal, that when it says, Bitchila nikreis Torah Hashem, ulebesov, when a person is learning, and learns obviously the way Rashi presented it as well, when a person becomes strong in Torah, then it's called Al Shmo, it's called Vesaraso. But the first shot of the Radak is different than this explanation in Rashi. First, the Radak points out that you find many times in Tanakh, you find actually that the Torah repeats language. And for example, the Radak refers to two specific psukim. One is not in your text of the Radak, but is in the other text of the Radak, where the Radak refers to a pasuk at the beginning of Noach. In Bereishis, Perek Vav, pasuk Tes. The Torah says, Eile told us Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya b'dor osav, es Elokim isalech Noach. Notice the word Noach is mentioned there three times. So the Radak says that it's not uncommon to find kefil haloshon. That's the reason why the Perek in Tehillim has doubled the language of Torah. First, Torah Hashem, then u'b'taraso. This is minag haloshon. This seems to be the way of the terminology, if you will. The Radak also refers to another pasuk. It doesn't tell you where it is, but that pasuk is to be found in Bamidbar. In Sefer Bamidbar, in Parakhes of Bamidbar, pasuk Yutes. So there the Torah also has repeated one word many, many times. Five times the Radak says. In Parakhes, pasuk Yutes, there the Torah says the following. It mentions, Vo'edno asalvim nesunin le'aron ulevanov. The Levim were given over to the care of Aaron and his children. Mitoch b'nei Yisrael. Here the word Yisrael is going to be repeated five times. La'avodas avodas b'nei Yisrael b'yol moed. to do the work of Bnei Yisrael, ulechaper al Bnei Yisrael, to atone for Bnei Yisrael, v'lo yeh b'Bnei Yisrael negef, and Bnei Yisrael will not suffer, b'geshes Bnei Yisrael lakodesh. So the Radak says here, you have the word Yisrael used five times. So according to this pshat in the Radak, essentially, the Radak is disagreeing with Rashi. And as Rashi and the Radak, second pshat, quote a Chazal, that here, when the pasuk repeats the idea of Torah, the first time it's Torah Hashem, and the second time it's B'Torah, becomes yours. But that exactly is the question that we began with. Namely, what does it mean when it says U'Besorah So? There's one other possibility. And what the Radak is suggesting in the first pshat, that this is Minhag HaLashon. Namely, U'Besorah So refers to that which you mentioned earlier, namely, Torah Hashem. The pasuk begins by saying ki im b'saras Hashem chetzo. His desire is Torah Hashem u'v'saraso, and in the Torah of Hashem yege yom v'alayla. A person will dote on day and night. So there's a machlokas we've shown him in the simple pshuto shomikra. Are we referring to in the word u'v'saraso the Torah of the person, the way the Radak second explanation, the way Rashi quote from Chazal, or no? We're referring to u'v'saraso. It's simply a repetition of the initial appearance of Torah Hashem, and again, Uvsar Rasa in his Torah, the Torah of Hashem, Yege Yom Valayla. So this is the machlokes between the Pashoni and Mikra. Pasuk Gimel, then David HaMelech says, V'haya ki'eitz shosol apal gimayim. Here you have the use of the Chaf HaDimyon. There's now a mashal. We're taking this person, the Tzaddik, and the Tzaddik has been described essentially in a kind of way where not in a proactive kind of way, but what the tzaddik is not, and this way we're going to get a picture of what the tzaddik is. The tzaddik is not someone shehalach matzas v'shoyim, not someone who is omi b'derech hatoyim, not someone who is yoshe b'moshav leitzim, very similar to the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam has a very famous concept called tarim shliliyim, negative attributes, where you can't describe Hashem there. Of course, it's impossible. You can't describe Hashem in a positive kind of way. The Gemara comments in the Brachas, and also the Gemara Maseches Megillah, when efforts were made to describe Hashem as being okay, la gadol, la gibor v'nora, and the response was, siyam tinu l'shvachan demar dekuli alma. Did you finish saying the praises of Hashem? Hashem cannot possibly be described in any positive way. Says the Rambam, we can only describe Hashem by negating what He's not. The doctrine of negative attributes, tarim shliliim. Famous Rambam, Mor Nevuchim. And similarly, the Gemara in Brachas also has a similar kind of drasha. So here also, the Havdil, we're describing the Tzaddik first as what he's not. He's not someone who's Holech Batzas Rishoyim. He's not someone who's Omri B'derech HaToyim. He's not someone who is Yoshe B'moshav Leitzim. But rather, what is he? And now we have the positive formulation of what a Tzaddik is. Ki im b'saras Hashem chetzo. He's someone who dotes on the study of Torah, Yom V'Layla. That is his chefet, that is his ratzon. The language of chafetz is a beautiful language as well. Chafetz means to want, but we know that Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Chafetz, a land which is desirous, everyone is desirous of. And the language of chafetz is a language which is beautiful to describe not only Eretz Yisrael, but to describe our love for Torah and our relationship for Torah and our desire to learn Torah and to become completely encompassed with the Torah of Hashem. And now in Pasuk Gimel we go even further. In the Chaf HaDimyon, another mashal that's being used here, a beautiful mashal, that's found in Tanakh a number of times. The tzaddik is like a tree that's planted by a brook of water. That the tree gives fruit, be'ito, bismano, bi'aleilo yibo, and the leaves are verdant, the leaves are fresh. Everything about this tree is luscious. I think this is a niggun that's often used at chasidus. People aren't aware that this niggun comes actually from Tehillim Perek Aleph, describing the tzaddik. Whatever a tzaddik does, so a tzaddik has atzlacha. So here we have a pasuk that describes, as I said, the mushal of a tzaddik, a mushal to a tree with all of its luscious beauty and verdant background and greenery, and that is the mashal of the tzaddik. Interestingly enough, we find actually this mashal also elsewhere in Tanakh, again in a series of famous psukim that are found elsewhere, and specifically I'm referring to the psukim in Sefer Yirmiyahu. In Yirmiyahu, Perek Yud Zayin, you'll notice there also a similar kind of mashal, a very famous mashal, probably known to us because of a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And here, The psukim begin actually in Perek Yudzayim, and it begins actually with Pasuk Hey, and goes all the way till Pasuk Tes. I'll just mention there the psukim. Here we're talking about the midah bitachon, which is a beautiful midah. So if a person has bitachon in another human being, as opposed to having bitachon in the Ribono Shel Olam, that obviously is not a good thing. And the Navi curses the person. He unfortunately places his trust and credence in another human being and not in Hashem. And the Navi tells us, what is he likened to? He is compared to an Arar Ba'arava. We're talking about a desert kind of area that's arid, that's almost a wasteland, and they're going to be there, clearly, not foliage, and not greenery, and not luscious fruits. It will be Eretz Melecha, below Seishev, uninhabited by human beings. However, in contrast, says the Navi, Baruch HaGever Sheyiftach Bashem, Vaya Hashem Yiftacho. A person who has bitachon in Hashem, and not just bitachon in Hashem, but rather Hashem is Miftacho, his sole source of support. He is compared to Vayoke 8 Shasal al Mayim, again, similar to the mashal quoted here in Tehillim Perek Aleph. He is compared to a tree that's planted al Mayim, again, there is running water, there are streams, there are brooks. V'al Yuval Yishalach Sharashav, and the Sharashim of the tree are deeply rooted. V'lo Yirek Yavol Chom, and even whatever heat will not be noticed by the tree. The tree is so anchored and so rooted. V'ayaleo Ranon, and again, the leaves are glistening in their beauty, in their lusciousness. This is a tree that will constantly and on an ongoing basis continue to produce fruits. So here we have, again, such a beautiful mashal in Yirmiyahu, very similar to the mashal of the tzaddik over here. And now we continue, and in the course of continuing, now we read Pasuk Dalid. Lochein HaRashoyim. Now clearly, Lochein HaRashoyim is being used to contrast. Here we've just depicted and created a scenario of a tzaddik who does not follow certain types of paths, which of course are nether paths, and a tzaddik who's doting and focused on the Torah, and a tzaddik who's compared the mashal to a beautiful tree with luscious fruit. However, in stark contrast, says the Paiton, says the David HaMelech, Lochein HaRishoyim, not so Rishoyim, Ki Im Kanotz Asher Titfenu Aruach. Notice here, again, the tzaddik was described at some length. Here the Paiton expatiated on the tzaddik, and yet when it comes to the Rasha, we find the language, of course, is of a limited nature. Lochein HaRishoyim, almost a pronouncement, a statement, that Rishoyim don't come anywhere near the Karsulayim of Tzadikim, and what are they compared to? Again, in the same pasuk, without the lengthy description of three psukim that we saw earlier, Kim Kamot Sashet Yitfenu Ruach. One of the malachas on Shabbos is the malacha of Dash. Dash refers to threshing. Definition of threshing, according to the Balei Halacha, is the separation of the chaff from the kernel. Motz refers to the chaff. When you separate the chaff from the kernel, you have the malacha of Disha, and here Rishoyim are compared to the motz, to the chaff that's being pushed about, that's being, shall we say, the wind is buffeting it, and the wind is, shall we say, impacting and jarring this chaff. And that exactly is the mashal that's used for Rishoyim. And the Parakat Tehillim continues with Pasuk Hey, Al-Kain, Lo Yakumu Rishoyim Bamishpat, V'chatoyim Ba'adas Tzadikim, and therefore Rishoyim cannot possibly, they won't be able to have any kind of kima, any kind of stance, when it comes to Mishpat, the way the Rishonim learned, Rashi and others. Mishpat refers to the Mishpat L'Asid Lavo, when everyone is going to have to face Din V'Mishpat, B'fnei the Ribono Shel Olam, V'chatoyim Ba'adas Tzadikim, nor can people who are Chatoyim, again we mentioned earlier in Pasuk Aleph, B'derech Chatoyim, here again we have Chatoyim, and also we have Rishoyim, they will not be able to stand Ba'adas Tzadikim. And finally the parak ends, Ki Yodeh Hashem Derech Tzadikim, B'derech Rishoyim Toveid. Hashem knows the Derech of Tzadikim, and the Derech of Rishoyim will lead to peril, will lead to their destruction, Rachmanu Litzlan, and we'll speak about this pasuk a bit after. So essentially what we have here, clearly, in this parak of Tehillim, is a very stark contrast between the lives and the lifestyle of Tzadikim, as opposed to the lives and lifestyle of Rishoyim. Also mentioned here as well, clearly, is the Gemul, the idea of schar v'onesh, the great schar that a tzaddik is going to receive, and of course, the terrible onesh that will be meted out to the rishoyim, namely derech rishoyim toved, while derech tzaddikim is one that merits ki yodeh Hashem, which we're going to point out exactly what this means in a few moments. Now again, as we've noted in the past, one way of really understanding Prakim Tanakh is by trying to find a structure to the Perek Tanakh. And here I believe there are three possibilities of breaking down this particular Perek in Tehillim. The first is rather obvious and rather evident, and evident by the way I read the Perek in Tehillim. Namely, let's take the first three psukim and clearly create one unit, because the first three psukim focus on the tzaddik. As I began with Pasuk Aleph, negating what a tzaddik is not, and then Pasuk Beis, what a tzaddik does, involvement in Torah study, Yom V'Laila, without Hesech Hadas. Interestingly enough, in that Pasuk, with Torah, so Yegi Yom V'Laila, one of the questions that Rishonim raised with reference to Birchas HaTorah is that, why is it that Birchas HaTorah is different than other brachas? Let's say the bracha when a person goes into a sukkah, so we know that every time you go into a sukkah, you'll make a bracha, Leishim HaSukkah. Then you leave a few hours, and you come back later for another meal, again you make another bracha, Leishim HaSukkah. Rishonim ask, why don't I do that same vis-a-vis Birchas HaTorah? The minhag is only to make a Birchas HaTorah once a day. And then that somehow covers the entire day. And of course the answer that Rishonim say is because Shiny Torah, Taisus and Brachos points this out, that Torah is different. Why is Torah different? She'eino miyayish, eino masiach datu. There's no Hesech Hadas from Torah. A person is involved in Torah, is involved in it day and night. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, Zechein Levracha, used to give a beautiful mashal. Mashal Ma'adav Adomer, he said, to a mother, and a child is about to go to school, a young child, and even though certainly the mother is going to accompany the child, and the mother will be with the child the whole way, but there comes a point in time where the child has to go into the classroom. But it doesn't mean the mother, for a second, is Masiach Das from the child. The mother is constantly thinking about the child, not for a moment. Is there Hesech Hadas? Here, Rav Soloveitchik said, the distinction between the mother and the father. Sometimes the father will also accompany the child to school. Once the child is there, the father, Baruch Hashem, is besimcha. He's not able to go about his business without having to worry about the child, but the mother, not for a moment, does not fret about the child. That's the nature of a mother. And so here is what the Taisus and other Rishonim point out on this idea of Yom V'Laila. Namely, Rav said there are two types of awareness. There's what he called latent awareness and acute awareness. Acute awareness means when the mother and the child are together, the child is under the thumb of his or her mother, and the mother is acutely aware of the child. And then there's another type of awareness, even when the child is not there, the child is in class, the child is elsewhere, the mother, not for a moment, is Masiach Das from the child. There's a latent awareness. And that's why Taisa says, we don't make a bracha except once a day. Because only when nighttime interrupts the day with sleep and the like, then we make another bracha the following day. But there's no Hesech Hadas from Torah. Even when a person is actively involved in Torah, you're acutely aware of it. And even when you're not actively involved, you're doing other things because you are potter. There's always a latent awareness. That's the pasuk. Uvasar raso yege yom v'alayla. Even when there's no acute awareness, there's a latent awareness. No Hesech Hadas is permitted from Torah. Back now to the division. We pointed out the first three psukim seem to be one unit. Namely, we're talking about the tzaddik. And then we have from Dalet to Vav. Dalet to Vav, the focus would seem to be more on the Rasha. Dalet begins, Lochein HaRishoyim, Im Kamotz, Asher Tetvenu HaRuach. And again, Pasuk K speaks about both Rishoyim and Tzadikim, and again, Pasuk Vav speaks about Tzadikim and Rishoyim, but it would seem that the contrast, the last three Psukim, are focused on the Rasha, and there the Rasha is given his due, and the Onesh of the Rasha is going to receive, and again, the contrast with the Tzadik. That's one possibility of dividing the Perek. Another possibility is to divide the Perek into three sections, namely, Psukim Aleph through Gimel represent one section, that's the tzaddik, as we described a moment ago. Dalet and Hay clearly referred to the Rasha. Lochein HaRishoyim Kim Kamotz Asher Tetvenu HaRuach. And Pasuk Hay, Al Kein Lo Yakumu Rishoyim Bamishpat VeChatoyim Bad HaTzadikim. And Pasuk Vav, I would venture to say, is now a Sikkum. Pasuk Vav, more or less, we've had two different types of personalities that are presented, namely the tzaddik and then the Rasha. And now we tell you exactly the summary, and this we mentioned already in the past, that you find this often in Tehillim, that you often have a koteret. Here this doesn't have a koteret, but you have a chasima, you have an ending. And the ending more or less tells you what exactly this parah consisted of. Namely, it consisted of an analysis of both tzaddikim and rishoyim. and distinction between them. Ki yodei Hashem derech tzadikim v'derech v'shoyim tovein. And there's a third possibility, I believe, of dividing this perek, and that is to divide it actually again into three, similar to the second, however, with one distinction, that Aleph and Beis go together. That Ashrei Ha'ish Asher Halach Matzos V'Shoyim U'Derech HaToyim La'Amar Moshe Leitzim Lo Yoshav Ki Misaras Hashem Chetzo V'Saras Ha'Yegim V'Laila. And here I would say ends the first section. Why do I say that? Because the language of Vahoya already seems to imply a new thought, namely a Moshal. Vahoya, what is the tzaddik likened to? Ke'ed Shosu Apal Gimayim, as I described in the Psukim Yimiyo and the Pasuk here. He is a verdant tree, luscious, with foliage. The Chol Asher Ya'aseh Yatzliach. And again, I would say in this middle segment also belongs to Pasuk Dalet, because here we have the Mashal. Lo Chen HaRishoyim, that the Rishoyim are compared to Hakim Kamotz, Asher Tizfenu Ruach. So this ends the second section. And then one has the impression again from the language of Al Kain found in Pasuk K, that here the third section begins, namely Al Kain LeYakumu Rishoyim Bamishpat VaChatoyim Badas Tzadikim Ki Yodei Hashem Derech Tzadikim VeDerech Rishoyim Tovei. This is the third section. Knows the language of VeHoya and Pasuk Gimel indicates a new segment, which is the Mashal, and the language in Pasuk Hey of Al Kain also indicates a new section. And this, of course, is talking now about what is going to be the ultimate gemul, the ultimate schar v'onesh of tzadikim and rishoyim. And I think this explanation of this division is also a division which is certainly very much, I believe, operative and one that's eminently sound. So there are three possibilities. Either one could divide this perek into two, namely Aleph through Gimel is the tzadik, Dalet through Vav is the rasha. A second possibility is to see the perek as dividing into three segments. Aleph through Gimel is the tzadik, Dalet through Hay is the rasha, and Vav basically is a sikum, or if you will, a combination, a composite of both the tzaddik and the rasha. And the third possibility is to see three different topics, if you will, three different themes. Namely, initially, Aleph and Beis deal clearly with the tzaddik. Gimel and Dalet are the mashal. What is the tzaddik likened to? What is the rasha likened to? And finally, Psukim Hay and Vav deal with, as I said, the issue of schar v'onesh with reference to the tzaddik and the rasha. What's very fascinating over here is that there seems to be, again, in the language of Vav, if one takes the last division that we just mentioned, the language is very fascinating. There is a contrast again here between the tzaddik and the rasha. Ki yodei Hashem derech tzaddikim v'derech rishoyim tovein. Notice that the onesh for the rishoyim is given, v'derech rishoyim tovein. But the schar for the tzaddikim does not seem to be mentioned. It says, Ki yodei Hashem derech tzaddikim. The term yodea reminds one of the pasuk in Chumash with reference to Avram Avinu. The Torah tells us that the Almighty says about Avram Avinu, Ki yedativ. And Rashi comments over there, Lashon Chiba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is called, the Rambam has this in Perek Yudah Chuba, when the Rambam describes the concept of Avas Hashem. Avram Avinu reached the highest level. Avas Hashem is someone who carries out the mitzvah Shalom and Aslakal Pras, not for any remuneration, not for any compensation, but does it purely l'shem Shamayim. And the Pasuk says about Avram Avinu, Ki Yedativ, the Almighty says, I love him. There is chiba between myself and Avram Avinu. Why? And the Pasuk indicates, because Leman Asher Yitzaves Bonaves Beso Acharav, Avram Avinu is the one who maintains the Masoret and transmits it faithfully and dutifully. And therefore the Pasuk says at the end, Leman Avi Hashem al Avram, Esa Shadibir Alav. So here also, Ki Yodei Hashem Derech Tzadikim. The relationship between the Almighty and Tzadikim is one of Yidia, is one of love and Chiba, and that's the greatest schar that a person could have. In general, Al Pi Alocha, when we speak about Simcha, Simcha, which exists on Yom Tov, halachically, Pasuk says, "V'samachta b'chagecha." Simcha means to be in the presence of Hashem. That's the greatest simcha that a Jew can possibly have. The greatest hester panim, rachmanu litzlan, is when Hashem hides from us, when Hashem disappears, as it were, when Hashem is no longer seen, is no longer begalui. That is hester panim. But when Hashem actually is in front of us, and we have the simcha being in the presence of Hashem, that's the greatest schar that a person can receive, and that's what the David HaMelech writes in Tehillim. Ki yodei Hashem derech tzadikim, there is that yidia, the chiba, the love that Hashem has between himself and tzadikim. The Ramban throughout his perush al HaTorah and other Rishonim as well, but the Ramban is the one who always stresses this, that tzaddikim azoche to a unusual hashkocha, to a separate hashkochas Hashem that the average person is not zoche to. The greater the tzaddik, the greater the hashkocha. Similar to the position of the Ramban vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban writes many times in his Perush al HaTorah Kayadua, the Ramban points out, the hashkocha of Hashem in Eretz Yisrael is wondrous. Eini Hashem Elokecha, the Torah says, Meireshis, Hashana Rach Rishona. The hashkocha of Hashem here on a constant basis, without intermediaries, without mediation. In Chutz La'aretz, the Ramban says, the hashkocha of Hashem is through all kinds of sarim, and through all kinds of mediators, and through all kinds of other, shall we say, forces. Dafka in Eretz Yisrael, Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba, the hashkocha of Hashem is direct. And so too, similarly, says the Ramban, vis-a-vis tzaddikim, Raglei chassid of Yishmor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach, is mefakeach on tzaddikim, and that's embedded in the language, Ki yodea Hashem derech tzaddikim. Hashem has a specific idea, there's the hashkocha vis-a-vis tzaddikim that doesn't exist vis-a-vis anyone else. And the Rambam writes this in the Buchim, and many Rishonim point this out, and this one can see actually in a comment of the Mitzudas David. Directly below, the Mitzudas David writes, Ki yodea Hashem, Ki amakum baruch hu, no sein leiv ladas, ulashkiach al derech hatzadikim, lebal yikoshu bo. A tzadik is zochet tzisiyata d'shmaya, that he will not be nichshal, he will not stumble in the way other people might stumble. Avo derech harishoyim, tiyeh avuda, mehashkochas Hashem. The derech harishoyim, says the Mitzudas, they're going to be abandoned. Hashem will not be mashkiach on them, will not protect them. Liyof nezev al amikrim, they're going to be left to their own resources, so to speak. So in effect, the way the Mitzudas learns, and this comment of the Mitzudas is also echoed as well in the language of Rashi. Rashi here says something very striking on Pasuk Kein, Pasuk Vav. But Pasuk Kein, Rashi says, Al Kein, Dovikul l'mikra shel acharav. Almost suggesting what the Mitzudas David suggests, namely that almost as if one should reverse the Pesukim. Pasuk Vav should precede Pasuk Kein, as if the Python is telling us, number one, Ki yodea Hashem derech tzadikim, Hashem is mashkiach on tzadikim, v'derech rishoyim tovein. While the derech of rishoyim is going to lead to peril, to disaster, because if one is not under the pikuach, the hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem Yisbarach, then one is completely lost. Then one is not able to move. One will not know Benyamin or Smola between his right hand and his left hand. But a tzadik who walks by hashkocha, and Hashem directs him, and orchestrates his moves, and prevents him from falling into any kind of mishap, is zoche to unbelievable siyata d'shmaya. And of course, this is based on the idea of bederech. The Gemara says in Makos, bederech sha'adam rotze leilech molichin also. In the way a person wants to go, you make the choice, we make the decisions, we can decide either to be a tzaddik or achmar litzlan, to fall into the doldrums, into the path of rishus, and if we opt for the correct path, the derech of tzaddikim, then we'll be under the hashkocha of Hashem, and that hashkocha can lead us to unbelievable heights of ruchnius, of spirituality. And so the Mitzudas and Rashi are both suggesting the following. They're saying that the pasuk should be read after Dalit, Lo chein ha-reshoyim kin kamos ha-shedvenu ha-ruach, ki yodeh Hashem derech tzadikim v'derech reshoyim toved, and therefore, al kein, lo yakumu reshoyim ba-mishpat v'chatoyim ba'da tzadikim. Apparently the reason why the Bala Mizmor did not present it in the way the Mitzudas and Rashi are explaining it, because he didn't want to end the Perakat Tehillim with that pasuk with pasuk K. Al kein lo yakumu reshoyim b'mishpat v'chatoyim b'ada tzadikim. Whatever the case is, the Mitzudas and Rashi are both suggesting that we should really invert the Seder HaPsukim. First we focus on the Hashkocha of Hashem, derech tzadikim, and then we have al kein lo yakumu reshoyim b'mishpat v'chatoyim b'ada tzadikim. So essentially what you have in this Mizmor is clearly you have, irrespective of whatever division you accept of the three that I suggested, you have here, again, incredible contrast between a tzaddik and a rasha. A tzaddik, what a tzaddik is zoche to, and a tzaddik is zoche, not just simply the description found in Gimel. Gimel talks about almost a description of Olam Hazeh, what a tzaddik will be zoche to in this world. And as we know from the Mishnah that we say every morning, the Mishnah in Peah, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lehem Shiur, and among them we say the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And there, we're talking here and there about the material benefits. Of course, there's much more than the material benefits that a tzaddik is zocheh to, namely, the spiritual benefits that I mentioned, almost as if there are two types of gemul given to a tzaddik. One is of a material nature that's found in Pasuk Gimel, and then we find one of a spiritual nature that's found at the end in Pasuk Vav, Ki yodeh Hashem derech tzaddikim, v'derech v'shoyim toved. A tzaddik is found in Be'adas tzaddikim, a Rasha, Rachmanu l'Islan, derech v'shoyim ulitu, derech v'shoyim toved. So the focus, the theme, the major theme of this parak is the contrast between someone who's involved in the study of Torah and the hashkacha that that person is zochet to, and the great schusim that that person will merit, as opposed to Rachmanu l'Islan, to a Rasha, who obviously will not be zoche to that kind of siyata d'shmaya, and Rachmanu l'Tzlan will go down the primrose path. There's a pasuk in Mishlei where the Gemara comments in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The pasuk in Mishlei is found in Perakei, pasuk Tezvav. And this pasuk is commented on by the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yitesim et Aleph, and I believe there's a message, a very significant message, that the Gemara is telling us that can easily be fitted into this parak of Tehillim as well. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, Shesei mayim miborecha, v'nozlim mitoch be'erecha. He tells us, drink water from the bore, from the pit, and drink as well, mitoch be'erecha. Mitoch be'erecha refers to be'er. A be'er is a well. What's the distinction between these two terms, between the term bore and the term be'er? The distinction is rather well known. Bor refers to a pit, a cistern. And what is in that cistern? In that cistern, generally, there's a gathering of water. And the water that's gathered in that cistern primarily comes from rainfall, primarily comes from, shall we say, snow that's melted, and the water is streaming down the mountains and going into the bor. It's an osef, a meg shomim, primarily. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says over here in Mishlei Perakei, Pasuk Tesvav, when he speaks about the boar. On the other hand, a bear is something totally different. A bear is a makor of mayim chayim. It's a source of indigenous waters, of waters that come from underground springs. And the water, of course, in effect, comes from the beten ha'adama, comes from the ground itself. And Chazal understand this pasuk, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yutesh Amud Aleph, understands the pasuk in the following way. If a person drinks water, mi borecha, if a person will gather water as a bar, as a cemented cistern, gathers water, rainwater, then eventually a person will be zoche to becoming a be'er. He'll become a be'er mayim chayim. He'll become himself a spring of water. He'll be able to, shall we say, become an indigenous spring. A spring, in effect, that is, will be pared tzachutza, will somehow move outward on its own. And the pasuk then goes on to say the following. The pasuk over there in Mishlei, again, Perakei, pasuk Tesvav, that I began to read, it says, then what will happen? Yafutsu mayno serachutza barachovos palge mayim. And it speaks as well, just as we have in our Perakei Tehillim, palge mayim, they're also palge mayim. In other words, what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is interpreting the psukim, and one could see this interpretation elsewhere. For example, the pasuk says in Chumash in Bamidbar, Bamidbar, Perak Chaf Aleph, Psukim Yud Zayin and Yud Ches, the Gemara Darshan, the pasuk there as well. Ali Be'er Enula, Be'er Chafarua Sarim, Karua Nidiveam, Mimchoki Mishan Osam, Umi Midbar Matana. And the Gemara comments over there in the Dorim, Daftun Heim and Aleph, the Gemara says that a Be'er is compared to the Torah. So how can a person be Zohar to be a Be'er? The answer is, first, a person has to learn Torah from Rabbeim, from his teachers. A person has to absorb enormous amounts, Hashkafa, Halacha, Yesodos, in Kol HaTorah Kula. And once a person has absorbed, once a person lets himself become a bor, or the language of the Gemara and the Dorim, a midbar, one in effect makes himself into a desert, means he surrenders, and he says that I have nothing of my own, I am willing to be a Makabel. First the person has to be a Makabel. And then the Gemara says, if he does that, Kol HaMeisim Atzmo Hefker Kemidbar, then the Torah will be given to him as a matana. And here also, first the person begins at the level of shtei mayim miborecha. First you begin as a bor. You collect. You basically sit at the feet of Rabbeim. Ve'veshose batzom es divreim, says the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And if you are zochet to that, after many, many years, then you can become yourself an indigenous self, totally independent, self-production kind of be'er. You become a be'er mayim chayim. And that's what the pasuk says in Mishlei, Yafutsu Mayno Secha Chutza. I believe one could clearly insert this interpretation in this parak of Tehillim, in the pasuk that I mentioned, which is a critical pasuk that Rashi, as we mentioned earlier, and the Radak in the second pshat, that many Rishonim and Chazal explain it this way, namely a tzaddik is described as someone who is careful in terms of his lifestyle, in terms of his behavior. He's someone who dotes on Torah, but how does he dote on Torah? So the pasuk says, pasuk beis kim besoras Hashem cheftso. His desire is to acquire the Torah of Hashem. How does he do that? The answer is by sitting at the feet of great Talmidei Chachamim, by listening to others, and by surrendering, by self-discipline, not offering his own, shall we say, explanations or his own ideas, his own hashkafa, which could often be very much alien to the whole idea of the Torah. And then, of course, if he does that over a period of time, then he'll be zochet to uvisaraso yege yom v'layla. He'll be zochet to becoming a be'er mayim chayim. He himself will become a wellspring, will become someone who, in effect, it will be zochet to come to great heights. And I believe this is embedded in this pasuk, pasuk beis ki besaras Hashem chetzo uvisaraso yege yom v'layla. Very fascinating that this idea is one that's so fundamental and so basic, and unfortunately often misunderstood. Very often young people want to say their own chidushim. They want to say their own ideas. Of course, people should be thinking, and that's a great thing, and people should be thinking critically, but sometimes people get carried away and don't really have a sufficient structure and foundation before they go ahead and they want to, shall we say, bring their own interpretations to light. And another pasuk in Mishlei that's, again, that I thought of as well, in Mishlei Perches, pasuk Yudalid, but the pasuk says, "Li Eitza Bisushia Ani Bina Li Gvura." And again, here the Ksav Sofer describes this pasuk and interprets it as describing the development of a Talmud Chacham. When a person starts learning Torah, your thought process doesn't necessarily follow Torah logic. You have to bend your own mind to think along the Torah lines, and that's what Chazal learned from Tushia. Tushia means Torah Mateshes Kochos Shel Adam. It drains a person. It saps your vitality. But the sapping comes primarily not just from the learning and the involvement, but also from the surrender. It's very difficult for us to surrender, but you have to develop a Torah personality, a Torah mind, and that takes a long time. And that's what the Ksav Sofer says. Li Eitza, if a person, in effect, sees the Torah as a source of counsel, I need to learn from the Torah how to think. This Torah study is Tushia, it takes tremendous effort, but primarily surrender. And then, after a while, one can say, Ani Bina, Ligvura, one can come to higher levels, and all this, I believe, is embedded in the language of the Python. Kim besoras Hashem chetzo, usarasa yegevim v'layla. We'll just end by referring to a famous machlokes between the Mechaber and the Vilna Gaon, where the one says Birchas HaTorah on Hirhur. If a person thinks in Torah, this is the source of the big machlokes among the Poskim, do you say Birchas HaTorah? This language would seem to imply, and the Gaon brings a raya from a different pasuk, but it's the same idea. Uvisaraso yege yom v'layla. A person thinks in Torah, and a person obviously is maharer in Divrei Torah, and that's what one should be doing to the extent that one can. Always trying to think in Divrei Torah, never being masiach das from Torah for one moment, as I mentioned earlier. There should always be that latent awareness, even though there may not be that acute awareness, but the latent awareness has to be there. But one has to begin first as a bor, with surrender, accumulate a lot of rainwater, make shamim, and only then, after many, many years, can one come to the level of uvisarasa yege yomam v'layla, and this is what a tzaddik is all about. He moves up the scale, he moves up the ladder, tzad achar tzad, shal achar shal, and of course the entire Perakat Tehillim is to describe the beautiful life of a tzaddik, what a tzaddik can be zochet to, not only material schar in this world, but also, even beyond that, ruchnius, Yediyas Hashem, having a connection, bonding with the Almighty, the Abba that Hashem has for Tzadikim, Ki Yedativ, or Avram Avino, and Chas V'Sholom, one should not fall prey, neither to Atzas V'Shoyim, nor to Derech HaToyim, nor to Moshav Leitzim, Achman Litzlan, nor to Derech V'Shoyim Tovei, but one should strive for it, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we all can strive for it, to be Ba'ad Tzadikim, to be numbered among the other Tzadikim, and to be numbered among the people that Hashem vouchsafes to us and gives us beautiful smat siyata dishmaya.